never knew Mr. Sutter was such a funny fella.
He can still turn a line even if he can't turn the soil, bless his pitiful hide. Every now and then when the light is just right, I can still see the man I married. Told me last Valentine's he still loved me.
Well, do you ever wonder why, if he really loved you, he didn't marry someone else?
It was love at first sight. It must have been. If I'd taken a second look, I probably turned and run. But I remember him courting me.
Say there, Naomi. You know, your brother Pete and I, we were down in Dodge County last week, just out taking a stroll, ambling along there, happier than pigs in church, when all of a sudden...
I think you mean pigs in mud. Happier than pigs in mud?
No, pigs in church, just like I said.
I've never seen pigs in church.
Well, there you go. I guess you wouldn't know then. Anyway, we were running along there when Naomi, we come up on this giant frog, about as big as a pony, about yay high.
I never heard of a giant frog in Dodge County.
When were you last there?
While back, but...
Well, there you go. He weren't near as big then. So I guess you wouldn't know. Anyway, we were heading over to your Uncle Roger.
My Uncle Roger doesn't live in Dodge County.
When'd you last see him here?
Well, what does that have to do
There with... you go. I guess you wouldn't know. Anyway, we come up to this big house and knock on the door. And this big old raw-boned woman with flaming red hair throws open the door and asks us what we want.
That would be Aunt Molly?
No. It looked a lot like her, but it weren't. Wrong house. There you go. Anyway, she offered us a piece of pie because she liked Pete's looks.
Well, Pete is a good-looking fella.
I guess you haven't seen him since he come back.
Why? What?
Because then you would have known about the giant frog. There you go.
Oh, go away, you silly man, and do not bother me. Before that you can lie with me, you must cook me dishes three. Three dishes you must cook for me, and I will eat them all. Then you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall. For my breakfast you must cook a bird without any bones. And for my dinner you must cook a cherry without any stones. And for my supper you must cook a bird without a gall. Then you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall.
When the bird is in the shell, it surely has no bones. And when a cherry is blossoming, it surely has no stones. The dove, it is a gentle bird, it flies without a gall. Now you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall.
Oh, go away, you silly man, and do not meet perplex. Before that you can lie with me, you must answer question six. Six questions you must answer me as I repeat them all. Then you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall. What is rounder than a ring? What's higher than a tree? What is worse than a woman's tongue? What's deeper than the sea? What bird sings first and what one best? And where does the dew first fall? Then you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall.
The world is rounder than a ring, heaven's higher than a tree. The devil's worse than a woman's tongue, hell's deeper than the sea. The lark sings first, the sparrow's best, and out does the dew first fall. Now you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall.
Now you and I in the bed will lie, and you'll lie next to the wall.
I remember him courting me. And then we got married, for better or worse.
Still not sure which one.
Say there, Naomi. We ought to head on back here. These mosquitoes are getting pretty fierce.
Yeah, if we start now, we might make it by supper. You're too slow to herd turtles, George. You know, there was a time when belly to the ground, you'd made it in half an hour.
Oh, there was a time. And there will be a time. There's always time for another time. But let's go. These mosquitoes got so much of my blood. I'm beginning to think of them as relatives.
Lorna.
Sure is a beautiful day.
Sure is beautiful.
Sure is.
Is.
I managed to survive George's cooking.
I can see that. Well, a little hunger can make tough food tender.
Oh, it's George who's tender. Naomi always keeping him in hot water.
Can't blame her. When Mr. Sutter put his finger through that wedding band, it was the last thing he did by hand.
Well, George and work did have a falling out. Of course, farming's a tough road to hoe. Not everybody can be a self-made man.
Self-made man? Well, you shouldn't have hired such cheap labor.
Oh, you take exception to my line of work?
I take exception to you calling it work.
Well, it's a noble calling. And secure. Why, if I retired today, I'd have enough money to live on the rest of my life. If I died tomorrow.
Well, farming's not much better. I mean, so many mortgages on our farm, you have to drill through just to plant seed.
Well, Lorna, manure piles rise and castles fall, but a working man will never starve.
Strange words for a man who avoids work as much as you do, Mr. Johnson.
Well, on the contrary, it's only through hard work that I arrived where I am now.
And where might that be?
Why, right here.
I see.
Yes, you may say that I'm too lazy to holler suey if the hogs were eating my toes. But I say a man can spend his whole life chasing the south end of a north-going plow and never stop to consider there could be a sunrise in the east or a sunset in the west or a simple cure for the stomach ache brought on by eating too much of Mr. Sutter's cake. Well, I stop to consider, and indeed I've arrived at this conclusion.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, what's the conclusion?
Well, no one would eat too much of Mr. Sutter's cake. It would have to be something else.
Well, Mr. Johnson, you still look more like a warning than an example. But I guess you're not so bad as you might be.
Well, thank you, Lorna. That's generous. I'm deeply grateful.
Mr. Johnson.
Lorna. Naomi.
Mr. Johnson. Lorna. George forgot his crutch.
He forgot his crutch?
His crutch. We were halfway home before he realized it. Now he's pulled up lame and he won't walk another step without it. Sometimes I think he's dead and just too dumb to fall over. He needs that crutch like a pig needs a wallet.
Naomi, can I ask you a question?
I'm only ears.
Well, even if a man is lazy, or seems to be, poor, at least not rich, doesn't like farming, or at least never does it, can he still be a good man? A man worth considering?
Can't say I know anybody like that.
I was just wondering.
Well, what I can tell you is that the man you marry isn't necessarily the one you end up with. I married a hard-working farmer and ended up with the world's sorriest housekeeper. Not to say that I've given up on George. At least, I don't think I have. I don't think.
Well, I guess I just don't want a cat that can't catch a mouse. That's what I was asking.
Lorna, I don't know what I can tell you. Except every man is his own. Sort of like horses. You gotta judge them as individuals. Even when you picked out one that seems healthy, there's no telling when he'll pull up lame. See, I'm not sure I made a mistake with George, but I might shoot him if he pulls up lame again. A fellow might be handsome and hardworking, the kind of man who always aims to please. It's only when you're married that you find out he doesn't have the brains that God gave geese.
A fella might be gentle as a baby, the kind of man who's sweet as cherry pie. But then one day you happen to discover he's courting 15 others on the sly. Men you can't live without 'em, but sometimes I think I should give it a try. Though there's something about 'em, till death do you part is a very long time. When a fellow doesn't think to bring me flowers and is late each time he promises to call,
oh boy,
I don't waste time on kindliness and kisses. He's already missed his chance to make me missus.
Old George used to be playful as a kitten,
George,
as handy as a pocket on a shirt. And I always found it so hard to resist him, all covered with manure, hay, and dirt.
Man, you can't live without him, but sometimes I think I should give it a try. Though there's something about him, till death do you part is a very long time.
But you know, Lorna, when all is said and done, you still gotta give a fellow a chance. Well, you don't have to, but sometimes, if you like the horse a little, you still might want to check his teeth.
George, I could live without him, but somehow I think it's worth one more try. There is something about
I gotta go. I hope I was some help.
I think you were.
Lorna Thronson set off with Naomi's advice to Doc Johnson's office, where Doc went about his work, unaware of her advance.
Mr. Johnson, I'm writing you concerning what I overheard you say about how to make a poor man's headache go away. You said binding a live toad to the forehead eases pain. It makes me think there might be something soft in your brain. P.S. I pity the fool who follows your advice, and furthermore, I pity the poor soul who spends hard-earned mammon on that pine-scented lamp oil you hawk. Signed, Reverend Ignatius Luther Jones. Mr. Jones, pity is a poor plaster. My wizard oil is a direct descendant of the famed Balm of Gilead, so reverently mentioned in our Lord's Scripture. But like everything in our Lord's Scripture, it must be taken with faith. Seeing your lack of faith, I would not recommend it. It might even make you ill. As for binding a live toad to the forehead to ease the pain of headache, having just applied this remedy to the headache brought on by your correspondence, I can confess to its effectiveness. In addition, Reverend, I notice your handwriting shakes, suggesting you may suffer a slight nervous disorder. Try to avoid handling money for at least a month. Money is the root of all that is evil, and is often the source of nervous disorders in the clergy. With all respect to Dr. E.T.J. Johnson, M.D., Ph.D., D.D.S.
Mr. Johnson.
Well, Lorna.
Mr. Johnson, I have come to a decision.
What decision?
Mr. Johnson, I have decided to let you court me. Well, now, this should not suggest for a minute that I am anything more than slightly curious.
Well, Lorna.
Now, if you come to call on me, I recommend you give notice in advance and don't even bother approaching empty-handed. Lost time is never found again, Mr. Johnson, so I recommend you act quickly, or this small window of opportunity may slam shut. Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Whoa. Things are moving fast. Fast, that is, for around here. Only thing not moving fast is George Sutter. Though he did make it home by supper, a supper he unfortunately prepared. Unfortunate, that is, for anyone who might have chanced to stop by about the time it was coming off the stove. Good evening, George.
Evening. I care for some supper?
What's that?
Chicken soup.
Chicken?
Soup.
I think I'll pass. How'd you get the chicken to do that, George?
Practice. this.
Now we're closing in on the morning of the cure. George hardly slept that night on account of the hole in the screen door that allowed mosquitoes in and out of the house uninvited. Not that many mosquitoes braved the entrance on account of the strong smell of pine that made them suspicious. That hole bothered George. He imagined giant mosquitoes peeking in through that hole. Mosquitoes as big as ponies, looking in hungry and talking between themselves. Talking about whether to eat George and Naomi there or take them on back home and have a proper feed. Big mosquitoes, talking in whispers, deciding to eat them there so they wouldn't have to share with the really big mosquitoes. George lay in bed waiting for those mosquitoes to make a move. He fell asleep there, propped up half out of bed. So he didn't have far to jump. When?
Oh! What happened? A mosquito get you?
No, it's the pain. Ooh, I think it's the rheumatism. Ooh, it hurts so bad I can hardly bend it. Looks like you'll have to get your work boots out of mothballs, George.
George didn't know what to say. So he didn't say anything. He just stood there looking through the hole in the screen. Out past the barn where cows were waiting to be let out. Past the coop where chickens were sitting high on eggs that needed to be collected. Past the even rows waiting to be tended. And his eye settled on a scarecrow Naomi had set in the middle of the field. A scarecrow that bore an unmistakable likeness to George Sutter. Wearing as it did George's old coveralls, George's old straw hat, and George's favorite old fishing shirt that had disappeared months before. Naomi had even put a sling on one of the scarecrow's arms. So there was no mistaking its identity. George stared hard at that scarecrow. And long. He stood there so long, Naomi worried maybe he was dead.
Well, I suppose you think I'm just going to drop this crutch and head on out there. I suppose you and Doc Johnson got this all figured out. Well, Naomi, I can't say I blame you. I know it's been hard on you keeping this farm going. It's been hard on me watching you work so hard. I feel as necessary as a fence around a cemetery. But Naomi, I hate farm work. I hate it. I've done it all my life, and I hate it. All I've grown here is tired. Now maybe I don't need this crutch. But Naomi, I don't need this farm either. I don't want it. Matter of fact, it's yours.
From the porch, Naomi watched George heading out across the field, stopping only to take his favorite old handkerchief from the scarecrow's pocket. Then she turned and looked in through the hole in the screen. Past the dirty dishes that had been abandoned and the clothes to be washed and the curtains to be mended. And she stared at the apron hanging by the stove.
No. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to push this farm off on me, George Sutter!
Now, you might be wondering where this story's headed. Well, I'll tell you. George Sutter was an independent fella, strong-willed. He stayed away for a long time, almost 4 hours. Long enough to realize he was hungry and had left his wallet back at the farm. But Naomi wasn't about to give in so easy. No, sir. She stayed with Lorna over at Thronson's for most of that week. Finally coming home when she saw a light in the milk house late one night. And there was George. And there was Naomi.
Naomi.
George?
I was just milking the cows. Gotta be milked. Someone's gotta milk them.
I thought you left.
I did. Forgot my wallet.
Oh.
I thought that you weren't coming back.
I wasn't. Then I saw the light out in the milk house.
Oh. I guess we both came back.
I guess we did.
Had my freedom while it lasted.
Me too.
Closely, darling, as you did in days of yore. Place your lips upon my forehead, then I'll see the golden shore.
I've been dreaming of you, darling, dreaming of your eyes so blue. Take me back, for I am crying. I can love no one but you.
They may tell you I'm unworthy. They may tell you I'm untrue. Believe it not, my dearest darling, for I love no one but you.
Oftimes we have roamed together down beside the moonlight lake. There you told me you'd be mine, love. Said you'd love no one but me.
Hold me to you closely, darling, as you did in days of yore. Place your lips upon my forehead, then I'll see the golden
shore. Hello, Doc.
Well, hello.
Beautiful enough evening for you?
Oh, it's beautiful.
As weather goes, it sure is fine weather.
Sure is fine.
It sure is.
Is.
Did you hear about George and Naomi?
Oh, I sure did.
Isn't love something?
Well, I hear it's the best medicine. I wish I could bottle it.
Say, you're all done up. Where's the funeral?
No one died.
No one?
No, just paying a visit.
Sure is a fine evening.
Sure is fine.
Sure is.
Is.
Well, I'll see you when I see you.
Probably will.
Oh. And it was a fine evening. With the moon shining through the pines, like a candle through the hole in a screen door. Good night.